today on Real Radio.
It's not about what he can do for us. It's, Lord, you died on the cross for me. I completely surrender my life to you. I am your slave, Jesus. What are we doing today? Amen. And you'll say, thanks for asking. Here's what we're going to do. And we say, yes, Lord. And we live for him. It's not, this is my desires, God. Bless it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Relevant Christian, Part 3 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 21. Paul wrote his epistle to the church at Philippi during an imprisonment in Rome. Before Paul's conversion to Christ and the gospel message, we need to remember who he really was and what he did. Even as a young man, Paul was given authority. He was a top student and a high achiever. He also had an intense personality. And being a Pharisee, he strongly persecuted those who were preaching Christ. But the very Jesus he opposed became his reason for living. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that there were those who wanted the effectiveness of Paul without the instruction. They also didn't want the suffering and affliction that Paul faced, but only the love, the support, and the fame. Still, Paul believed opposition has its purpose, and therefore, it was another reason to rejoice. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
In verse 3, he says, even when you ask, you don't even get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So these guys are trying to undermine Paul's ministry and prop up themselves, and they want the notoriety without the cost. Listen, they want to have Paul's effectiveness without the learning. They want to be somebody, listen, they want to be somebody without having first died. What do you mean? Jesus says, if you're going to follow him, pick up your cross and follow him. That means pick up your cross, Christian. Every day we're to die to ourselves and follow Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about what he can do for us. It's, Lord, you died on the cross for me. I completely surrender my life to you. I am your slave, Jesus. What are we doing today? Amen. And you'll say, thanks for asking. Here's what we're going to do. And we say, yes, Lord. And we live for him. It's not, this is my desires, God. Bless it. Wow. Paul's in prison, stuck in a Roman cell. These guys have freedom and their hearts are bound in wickedness. The Bible there goes on to tell us in verse 16 that these former preached Christ from selfish ambitions. This is a terrific, tragic word. Not sincerity, supposing to add affliction to my chains. What is that all about? Paul is saying to them, saying to us, these selfish ambitions, listen to this. The word means to canvas. What comes to your mind when you, it's an old word, I know we don't use that word much, canvas. What comes to your mind when you hear the word canvas? To canvas. Yeah, I see hands going like this. To canvas. The word means to crisscross a land, like for an election, for a campaign. It means to get your name out there and to get name recognition. So they're saying, hey, we preach Christ. And oh, by the way, here's my card. We preach Christ. And they said the right, by the way, remember, they actually preached the gospel. It wasn't a false gospel. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was the real gospel. Jesus died on the cross, Son of God, died for our sins, rose again from the grave. They really preached it, but their motive was, now remember, I brought that to you. The gospel brought to you by. And they would put their name out there. The exact opposite of Paul. They wanted to be known, but they didn't want the cross. They didn't want the association of suffering. And so it is to canvas or crisscross the land, like as in a campaign, to sway people or to get people to vote for you. That's fine if you're running for office. But God's ministers are not running for office. There's no office to run for. And so Paul says, they think they're doing this to add to my affliction. This is precious, you guys, because again, you and I think that Paul's like superhuman. The word actually implies, I'm hurting in here. See, you and I think he's like, he doesn't feel this, right? We think it's Paul. You know, bad. Somebody says something bad to him, and it just bounces off of him. It doesn't affect them. That's not true. You guys, he's not superhuman. Paul admits, you know what? I'm afflicted in here. I have feelings. This is hurting. They think that's adding to it. It may be hurting me, but they don't realize that what they're doing is actually adding to the very mission of my life. Well, what is that, Paul, to get a black eye? No, it's to preach Christ. If it was a different gospel, look, that's a different story. Yesterday, there's been a change in the tide, says I. The Jehovah's Witnesses have always avoided my house for years. Yesterday, there's a change in the tide. They knocked on my door. My door was open. We have a, you know, a Dutch door. You know, the Dutch door was open, but the little gate out front was locked. So I heard somebody out there, and I went to go look, and I walked out there, and there were two JWs there with a big smile. And I said, oh, wait, 1 second. And I grabbed my little Jehovah's Witness verses. Yeah, the cheat sheet thing I made up. It's in the seat pocket in front of you. It says, is Jesus God on it? And I made it specifically for them. And I said, wait. I said, I got something for you. And they went, no. And I said, no, wait. Were you not going to give me your magazine? Yes. And I said, no. You're on my property. You're at my gate. You got me up from my chair, which I was studying. I wasn't like laying around. I was studying for this message. And I said, I want you to know, on my property, I'm giving you these verses. They're from the Bible. You read the Bible, don't you? Well, yes, we do. Then you read, and they wouldn't take it. They went, nope. And they had their material, and it was great because all they had open was the area between their arm and body, which is called the armpit. And I strategically stuck both in two of their armpits, boom, and they couldn't do anything. And they walked away like this with their stuff. Why? Why did I do that? Because the Jesus that they are peddling is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus that they speak about is only an angel. He's not God. He's not your Savior. He's not the Son of God. He's just an angel. That's the wrong Jesus. No, these guys were preaching the right Jesus, the correct gospel, resurrection in Paul's day, but their hearts were wrong. It makes me stop and say, how's my heart, God? What's my heart like? Why do we do what we do? Why do we go to a prayer meeting? Why do we sign up for this or that? That people would see us? Or that we would serve the Lord Jesus? It was all about Jesus to Paul. That was his motive. So yeah, you know what? You cut Paul, he bleeds. But he didn't dwell on it. He looked past, as we learned last week, beyond all that. You say, how can that happen? You know what? I'm going to give you the answer, but I can't explain it. Are you ready? Here's how it works. How do you stay able to bleed and not become as one who lives in a monastery or out of touch? The answer is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That's the answer. Galatians 2:20. Let's read this together. Follow along with me if you would. I have been crucified with Christ. Let's walk through it. I have been crucified with Christ. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, there was a transaction taking place that now the Bible tells me that my Savior, my Lord, my God, I'm invited into a power. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Well, then who's living in me? Then who am I? Well, watch this. It's Christ who lives in me now. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this world, like Paul, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Keep it on the screen. Watch this, everybody. Read it backwards. This life that I'm living, by faith in the Son of God, it's because he loves me. He gave himself for me. That's the reason why. Listen, I embrace the crucifixion of myself. Because Jesus loves me, I know this. me, my life, as it used to be, is not good. So, as a Christian, because the whole motive is God loves me, I know this now, to follow him, when things come up in my life, all I have to do is say, wait a minute here, I'm a Christian. Hello, those thoughts, not gonna go there anymore. I've been crucified with Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, the old Jack died with Jesus on that cross. And the Holy Spirit lives inside my life now to give me the power to apply this truth. And so here's what I'm gonna do, Lord. This life that I'm living in this skin, I'm gonna live for you. You love me. You saved me. And the temptations that come to my life and my flesh want to entertain those things, I have to talk to myself. I have to say, self, you died at the cross, you bozo. You get back in that coffin where you belong, because it's that kind of junk that got me in trouble in the first place. So, Lord, I'm asking you now, based upon Galatians 2:20, you conquered this temptation of anger or fear or doubt or timidity or lust or you name it in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, I don't know how to explain it. I just know that that's the truth of it, and I know it works. I know he works. Verse 17 says, but the latter, the others, there are those who preach Christ out of envy and strife. There are those who preach Christ out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. What a statement. Paul is saying, I'm in jail for Jesus. I'm in prison for Christ. I've been arrested for preaching the word of God. That's why he's there. And there are those who recognize that. The amazing thing is, as you look at the word, for example, appoint, the word appointed, it's a military term from the first century. It means this, that I have been given my orders. Listen, do you remember what we talked about last week? How could Paul endure what he did? Because he knew his calling. Listen, Christian, I've been given my orders. It means to stay at your post. It means to hold your ground. It means to be locked and loaded on duty. That's Paul. Paul, what's the deal? He's like this. He's completely locked and loaded. He's on duty. I've been appointed to this. What else? You see the word defense? It means to be fully armed to defend. It means to defend the what? It means to defend the what? What is that behind you? Paul would say, it's the kingdom of God. It's cool. Second thing we see today is this. Rejoice, because listen, critics will hear the message. You can rejoice in that in verses 18 to 20. What do we mean by that? The gospel's under attack, ladies and gentlemen, more and more. I hope you know that. I hope you kind of have your pulse on the culture. Christianity is being mocked, ridiculed, pushed out of everything. Now, we can either go away with a whimper. I hope you're not like that. I hope you're not just like going to just tuck tail and run. As the days get darker and as Christianity gets mocked, we're supposed to stand up lovingly but firmly. We're supposed to speak the truth in love, church. We're not supposed to go hide. Timidity is a sin that needs to be repented of. We need to stand ground for truth and for righteousness. So keeping that in mind, listen, you're going to be criticized. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be intentionally rejected, scorned, whatever. Misrepresented is probably one of the biggest pains. Watch Paul's response. It's awesome. Two words in verse 18 strike us instantly. Look at verse 18. What then? You see that what then in your Bible? The word what then means, actually, this is the best way for me to show it. I have to show it to you. Watch. Are you watching? This is what those two words mean. Did you get that? Shoulders up to your ears, face looking like, what up, whatever, and hands raised up, like, some preach Christ out of strife and out of division and jealousies. Some out of a true heart of love. What do you have to say to that, Paul? Isn't that great? Yes. You say, no, really, what does it mean? It means this. I'll put words to it. Modern day vernacular. So what? That's what it means. What of it? we would say, and I wish I could hear him say it, who cares? So what? I don't care. What an attitude. It's not that he's being mean. He's saying, you don't get it. I don't care if Christ is being preached from people with good hearts as long as they preach the gospel, and the gospel is being preached as long as they preach the gospel by a bunch of goofballs with bad hearts. As long as the gospel is preached. That's maturity. Are we rejoicing that the gospel is being preached? Yeah, but you know what? That guy doesn't go to our church. That's carnal. You know what? What denomination is he from? What? Well, that's carnal. See, we're messed up. Anytime somebody, I don't know, if that's like a deal. Well, hey, how you doing? Oh, man, you're great. And you're all getting along fine. Well, where do you go to church? I go to the First Baptist Hostel down the street. And it's like, that's wrong. What's going on? What in the world is happening? Imagine if Paul would have had the microphone. That's Christianity. That's, listen, this is serious business. Something's up. No matter what your belief is, the Bible says that we're living in the last days, and the Bible warns that such a time like this would come. This is a serious moment. I don't say that to offend anybody. I want you to think this through. I'm not discrediting the man's person or his character. I will say this. Unless I'm born again, I will not see the kingdom of heaven. And unless the Pope is born again, he will not see the kingdom of heaven. Nobody gets in without Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way to eternal life. No other way. What then? Only that in every way, whether verse 18 says in pretense or in truth, if those guys are lying and those other guys are telling the truth, Paul says, that's for God to decide. Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. Isn't that awesome? You can't stop a guy like this. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer. Isn't that sweet? He's asking the Philippians to pray for him. And this is a great connection because Paul is here suggesting if you guys would pray, then the Lord will supply the answer. Paul believed in prayer. See, I thought, yeah, but God's got his plan. Yes, and in God's plan, he's opened the door for prayer to effect. Isn't that weird? He knows all things, but he wants us to pray. Oh, why pray? God already knows. Because God knows, pray. He tells us to pray. Hey, look, God knew that Nineveh was going to be destroyed. Jonah believed that and believed that was the only, there were no options. Jonah preached it and they repented and God said, I'm not going to destroy them now. And Jonah got all ticked off. He was furious. What? You're not going to fry these people? I want to see these people burn. Jonah, sit down. Listen, they didn't fry, but 40 years later they did. The people that repented were spared in Nineveh. Their children later never turned, and they were destroyed. God always has his open door of mercy, and we're to pray. And Paul says, pray for me. How much more we need to be praying also for each other in these last days, huh? And so, I want to ask you these questions, just very simple. How did Paul get into prison in the first place? Preaching the gospel. What was Paul doing ever since he got in jail? What do you think Paul would do if he got out of jail? Don't you love that? So, whoa, he would just get locked up in jail again. And Paul would say, next. So, my boss told me to never mention Jesus again. Pastor Jack, I was told that my boss told me not to mention Jesus. So where were you? Look, if you're working, if you're on the clock and you're not supposed to talk about Jesus, don't talk about Jesus. Do you understand that? You're going to get fired, and you should get fired. If you're on the clock, if they're paying you, you should be giving them 110%. But listen, not only legally, but constitutionally and ordained by God is your break time. If you go down and you have your cup of coffee at break time and somebody comes up and wants to talk about Jesus, you can do it all 15 minutes. And it's legal and it's right. If your boss says, what are you guys doing on break, talking about Jesus? Yep, you can't do that anymore. Listen, them fighting words. We need to be careful that we obey God. And Paul was absolutely, he understood that so clearly. And he rejoiced. He says in Philippians 2:13, we'll have to look at that in the future, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's at work in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So Christian, when he says, I rejoice, the word is to have a calm, deep sense of happiness that Christ is being preached and that he's right in the middle of God's will. So as we looked at last week, we add to it again that as you follow Jesus, what happens is in the hands of God. Yes, walk in wisdom, walk in obedience. But you walk with him to glorify him. And he says in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation, my intense anticipation, the word means my longing and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Before we wrap this up, you guys, in nothing I shall be ashamed. This is an awesome statement. Please hear this. There is no way that you and I can live life and not have certain things affect us that would add just to our welfare. So for example, if you have a job, you pay your bills and you maybe do even a better job and you get a raise or you get a new job and you're providing for your home and your kid wants tennis shoes and you can buy those and Christmas is coming and you've made enough money, you can even buy them a bicycle. You see what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. But when we go too far, and it's true about anything, when we go too far, and it's the I won't be happy until I have that thing. So now it's no longer existing or even being somewhat comfortable. Now it is, I'm not going to be happy until I own that guy's company, or I'm not going to be happy until I've got that thing under my control, or I'm not going to be happy. Do you see what I'm saying? Listen, you say, well, that's not me. But if it's consuming you, that is you. Now, why am I saying this? Your hard work is to be honored. I get that. But watch out for idols. We all deal with them. We all have them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Relevant Christian. Thanks for listening today. Our hope is that you, like Paul, have joy in all of life's circumstances and you'll have a sincere desire to spread the gospel wherever you go. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know if you ever miss a radio program here on Real Radio, it's real easy to catch up. Let's say we're in the middle of a series and you're kind of catching us halfway through or partway through anyway. Just simply go to our website. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And a few points, a few clicks, you'll be catching up with the lessons in no time at all. And I want to remind you real quick about our book of the month, Cries from the Cross, A Journey into the Heart of Jesus. It's by Erwin Lutzer. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and look for the book of the month, Cries from the Cross, A Journey into the Heart of Jesus, by Erwin Lutzer, at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.